Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey! 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 Welcome back to Las Vegas Ho. It's a crazy, sexy, cool podcast. I'm Bethany, and I am joined by Meek today. We had a duo.
Right.
Look, this takes me back to our dance days,
right?
You know, when we pull up to the dressing room and it's just us two, and we get to just like vibe out and do our thing. Meek and B.
Right.
Yeah. Goodness. So I just want to give a quick shout out to everyone that has signed up to Patreon already. We just launched that hoe. We just launched it. We already got subscribers. We are posting content. Meek, can you do that again? For those who are listening, you can get every episode on our Patreon. From here on out, you can watch us on Patreon. The videos are available.
You can watch
Monday
all five
nights.
You can watch all seven of us looking at on Patreon.
Look, but Meek, she just leaned back and them titties was woo.
Yeah, okay. Look, I feel like at a certain size of titties, they just start doing what the fuck they want to do. Like, you know, I am a attention whore to an extent, but these things I be trying to take pictures and they just like, oh, it's our picture around, bitch.
Yeah. What's their names?
I have not named them.
And you haven't named your titties?
I don't think
I'm
going
to.
No.
Have you named your car?
No.
Really?
No.
What's going on?
I've been given different names. One of them told me I drive the Batmobile because I be fighting crime and shit. That's what someone told me. And, you know, Night Rider.
So aren't you supposed to give your car a woman's name? I think that's the rule, right?
Is that the rule? Because
yeah, men usually name their cars after
men
women.
Men usually name their cars after women. But mine is, I got my car the way I got my men. I like my men, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, never mind. I'm not going to go into that.
No, come on, don't stop.
No. Like, but she, it may be a woman though, because she pretty, but the way she ride is different.
Is she a rough rider?
I wouldn't call it rough, but you know, cause we think nah, rough, you think, it is like them, like you like where it hurt, you know what I'm saying? Have you seen someone ride a dick to the point where like, damn, that like that shit hurt?
Yeah. Like they, you know what? That's what I want to ask. Like men, when women are riding, like when they are bouncing on it, does that feel
what
good to
feels
the balls?
Good. Oh my god, like hey, men, I need y'all to start speaking the fuck up, because I feel I'm coming to the conclusion that I really think that there's a lot of men that's like faking, like through certain aspects of like sex sessions, you get what I'm saying, where it's like, oh
yeah,
yeah, oh yeah, you know,
because they're just happy to be there sometimes. It's like, okay, I'm not gonna stop her.
No, I'm gonna be honest. I think a part of it is because women are so sensitive when it comes down to like sexual critique. So like, you know, it's like you gotta convince the girl to give you head in the first place. Not all women, because you know, some of us like it, you know what I'm saying? But you got some women that's like, I don't do that. I don't do it on Sundays. It's hump day. I went to the gym. I don't do that. And you gotta kind of like, you know, and you already got to do all that, so I can understand if a man hesitates to give a woman sexual critique in some type of way. So, like, he's like, okay, this really ain't doing nothing, but if I, like, you know, they'll, like, turn her on or something. I don't know.
I feel like it varies with each guy, because I've received critique before, especially when it comes to, like, giving head. Like some guys like it a certain way, some guys like it sloppy,
yeah,
some guys want you to, you know, pay more attention to the head, some guys don't like their balls to be touched, some guys want their whole ass ate, so
that part
is so different.
So to the fellas that are listening, I have a question, because it's this like movement right here, like where the head meets the shaft. And you like do this real, like you hold, you like apply pressure and you like do it really, really fast, especially when it's like hella lube. How does that make you feel? Because I feel like that may be like I know some
a little
guys.
Special
are,
move.
Am I? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that might be a little something right there. You know what I'm saying? I do understand all men are different, but I just want to know about that one move. Like, that one move. Because we all know, like, you know, like, because of, we all learn how to engage in sex from our porn courses. You understand? You know?
Oh, my God. But, right.
But, so, you know, you had, like, the deep throat and, like, hella, like, slapping the dick on your tongue. And that shit does not, that shit does not, it's just a visual. It's not.
It right, yeah.
It doesn't do anything. But I'm talking about actual feeling. Like, what does that feel like? Because... is that equivalent?
This whole shake
this
weight.
It is a shake weight, but it's like at that certain, and you got to apply pressure too. You know, I got small ass hands, so sometimes shit doing that too much, I might get carpal tunnel. But
the thing about having small hands, it makes their dick look bigger. My shit will swallow the dick and make they shit look small because my hands are so damn big. Having petite hands is actually an advantage. You can really put on a show. And like, oh my God, it's just so big.
No. Yeah, you can put on a show. I put on a show anyway because you know I'm extra as fuck. But my thing Lord. Is like when you want the show to end. You understand? Like I said, one of the things that I love the most is when a man climax. Like, I love watching, like, please give me all of that. I need all of it. So, like, when it I feel like if I had, like, maybe, you know, like,
but
bigger hands, I could get that thing popping. But maybe I need to just when I go to the gym.
But you made a good point. You made a good point a few episodes ago when you said you've asked the guy, like, how do you do it yourself? And I think that's a great way to figure out how exactly they, in particular, yes. like to have it done.
Yes.
So, you know, being, you know, if he can show you how he gets it done, how he gets the job done.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you got, and I know the tease.
You got a cheat code.
I feel like the tease, because it's similar to women. It's all about how turned on you get them, right? Whether we're able to, you know, how fast we can reach our climax. That's the reason why foreplay is so important. Because if you can get it all riled up and heat up, the more you are, and then when penetration actually comes into play, you know, it may go faster because I'm already, like, juiced up, heat up. But if I'm getting juiced up, heat up, and we already penetrate, like, more than likely, you even failed the course. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so shit.
That's
wait,
the reason
what?
Why. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You can't just whip your dick out and just go. Hell.
So do you believe?
Motherfucking all.
Do you believe in quickies?
But I'm aroused, though. Like, if we, at some point in time, like, you gotta fuck my mind before you fuck my body. So there's somewhere, if I'm like, I'm, you know, I'm down with a quickie. I'm down with doing shit.
Your face. Look, you just, listen, you look like you just had a flashback.
I did, because I just had a conversation about this. So, listen, like, if the time is right and the person with the right person, right? But that person has to be able to fuck my mind first before, like, so get my juices flowing in some type of way. I'm not saying that you have to go and, like, you know, finger me and all that. Like, no, like, shit, it might be your words. It might be the way you look. It might be your smell. Like, but it's a whole thing of, like, getting me turned on. But it's the same thing with men, where it's like, that's the reason why the tease part is kind of, like, important too, right?
I got a question. What is the most sexiest non-sexual thing a man has done that, like, really turned you on, besides conversation? Because we know you were sapiosexual. Yeah. Besides that, what has a man done? It was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to get him in the room.
He ordered my food for me. Yeah, but it was the way he did it. Cause you know, like, you already know how I'm set up. Like,
nah, she gonna have the motherfucker.
Nah, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. Like, it's something so sexy about a man who knows how to command, but it's within his energy and his presence. Like, it's not like, I'm that nigga. I'm that, like, all that extra shit. Like,
it's a certain assertiveness. And it's, that you have to possess to be able to pull that type of shit off.
You know what it is? It's BDE. That's what it is. I was sitting here and it was like a new restaurant. I wasn't familiar. And I'm like, okay, I'm looking. And then And the way he did it, it was still respectful to me. It was still as though he was, you know, concerned, like, if I was going to like it or not. But he just took control and just had the confidence to where he gained my trust because of how he handled that situation, where it was like, no, so what she's going to have is she's going to have this, this, and we're going to try this. Yeah. Also, 15 minutes after that, bring out this. Also, we're going to order. I'm like, nigga.
Yeah.
Let's go. Meet me in the bathroom real quick. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. I think for me, when a guy is, he has a certain amount of chivalry, like little things. Like if we're walking on a sidewalk and you move me to the inside, out of harm's way, I'm just like,
and don't touch the lower back end of my back.
Yeah, touch the small of the back and move you over to the side. Oh, I'm just like,
yes. Okay. But where it comes natural, where you could tell that they were raised right. Because you got some that do it and it's like extra. And it's like, that's not really you. So I know that's going to fade away like in some time. But you got some that like, you could tell like how they were raised and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. For every woman, you know, we got women of different pedigrees and different levels. And you know what I'm saying? So not all women like that type of shit, but I do. And if you want to, you know, do this tango dance with me, like I consider myself an alpha female, so you have to come with a certain like level of energy in order for that to subside and for me to be able to bask within my femininity and just, you know what I mean, and play that role.
What I like to call it gives me the opportunity to submit,
to be a woman.
Like, and a lot of people they don't like the word submissive. They, for some reason, it's just like a slur. It's like, what?
It's because it's been used, the way it's been painted, you know what I mean, used to like paint certain characteristics, and a lot of people see it as a weakness. I actually see it as, I see it as a strength, you know what I'm saying? Strength. I definitely see it as a strength, you know. So like, if you always feel like you got to be strong all the time, like,
you know what's funny? One of my friends on Facebook, because every once in a while I go to Facebook and get my scroll on for a good laugh. But this girl from my hometown, Lexington, she posted. She's married, by the way, with two kids. And she was like, can a woman become submissive like later on in the marriage or relationship? Is this something that can change over time? And I was kind of reading the responses. Everyone's like, yeah. But in a way, it was almost as if they were saying, you can become submissive, but not to the guy that you've been with all this time. What do you think about that? Because if a guy gives you a certain amount of, a certain type of energy for like, let's say 10 years, are you going to be like, at this point, I don't trust him to be that submissive?
The only way,
if you've always had to take the lead,
first off, I don't think we're gonna make it that long if that's always the case. But if that was like, just hypothetically, just going with what you just asked, if that is the case, the only way I would become submissive to that man if he changed. You'll start seeing a change in my reaction. But also, it all depends on like her outlook and her perspective of life as well. Because who knows? This man probably been trying to show up, and she just wouldn't let him. Because I've seen that too. Because you have this like, I am independent. I am every woman. I don't need da da da. And like, they don't allow, you know, their you know, male significant other, whatever, to like play that position. So if that's the case, yes. But like, if you been a beta this whole time, until you know what I mean, resonate to that alpha, like, I'm not submitting to no beta. Like, I'm not.
So, okay, let's say
can't trust that you can handle the situation.
So if you've been in a relationship with a beta for like 2 years, and all of a sudden he like bosses up on some shit, like, what would it take for you to be submissive? What change exactly would need to happen?
When I'm in a relationship, you get a fucking report card, like bi-weekly, monthly. Like, I am I'm serious. I'm like,
you checking in.
I'm checking in every single time. Like, I try to allow opportunity for, you know, men to have, you know what I mean? To like,
kind of show and prove.
Because I get that. I understand that. And I also understand that, like, we weren't all raised with the proper tools, especially when it comes down to how to like sustain a healthy relationship and like what those roles are. And like, you know, I understand.
Kind of learning as you go.
Exactly. So, because I know there's parts of me that I'm learning shit like, you know, yeah, I've been cooking, but I just started revving it up just now. So, like, if I would have met a dude, like, 2-3 years ago, I'd have been like, nigga, you cooked. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say that now, you know, because that's not something that I want. So, it's things like, so I do believe in giving people opportunity, giving them space to grow, communicating, all that type of stuff. But, like,
you know, I'm kind of, okay, so I just thought of a couple that maybe people would know where the kind of the dynamics of their relationship changed very significantly. NeNe Leakes and Greg Leakes.
Yeah.
NeNe started out just a housewife. Greg was the breadwinner. And then she super bossed up. And I feel like maybe that dynamic caused their divorce. But being that, you know, they feel like they're soulmates, they remarried, you know,
It was a couple of things that like that I feel like because now you about to bring Dr. Johnson out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
come on.
When it comes down to their relationship, there was that relationship was heavily layered, and when you like, I feel like I don't know them, so this is just my assumption,
right?
That like when you play a position of being the submissive for so long, you yearn to like you some people, not all, but some will yearn to have their own, to have that spot, to have that, like, you know what I'm saying? And then once you gain it, it does change the person that you are. So then now Greg is still an alpha. Just because he's not making her money does not mean that like he's now beta, you know? And also let's remember Greg is also kind of getting into retirement, so like he's done his shit, you know? Mm-hmm. But now she's not the woman that he married. So I can understand where there's like conflict, you know, but then like after she goes out and see that this single life is the motherfucking ghetto, and she that like, nah, like, no, I'm good where I'm at.
Yeah.
Shit start get, you know, start coming back together. So I like, yeah, like
it's true.
I do think that has a lot, you know, but I think that's the reason why self-work is so important, you know, like really sitting and ask yourself like, what do I want? Like trying to remove like the social like the pressures of like society out mm-hmm. of like what would make a good healthy relationship for you. You know what I'm saying? Like I grew up amongst a lot of iron women, like I don't need a man, this. No, I am the complete opposite. Like I am, you know, affectionate, like I want to communicate, like I want to cater like to my man. You know me, I'm a giver, like I'm a pleaser. So I'm the complete opposite. And who knows, other women in my family were probably the same, but they didn't have the tools on how to like express that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But if the roles were reversed, I wonder how NeNe and Greg's relationship was. If NeNe was the breadwinner all this time, and then he, you know, blows up and becomes this. Yeah, if he bosses up, do you just kind of like become soft and dainty and, you know, just give him the, I mean, I guess, you know, you're right. It really depends on like the dynamics of each relationship and how, you know, that how they communicate
and the effects of the boss up. Because let's be honest, like, that does something to someone's confidence, their esteem, their perspective of life, and also mm-hmm. how they view that other person. Because that's another thing I've realized is that people, you can be coming up out the mud with people, you know what I'm saying, and y'all see eye to eye, but then once that person start feeling like they on this road of success, they start looking down on you as though, like, I just don't choose that life, love. I'm happy for you, but, like, I just don't choose that path. That doesn't mean that because you've, you know, reach financial success that you are like there, you know what I mean? There. So like, I feel like that, cause it's so much into it when it comes down to someone's come up, right? Like the different levels of like, and you know, all the energy that it takes. And I'm not saying don't be proud of yourself when you come up. I get that lesson for sure, but it does impact relationships for damn sure.
Yes, it does.
And it also shows you what you will put up with and what you won't put up with. Because when you're in a state of being desperate and you don't got your own shit, you're willing to put up with a lot more. But when you got them fucking commas in your damn bank account, motherfucker, I'm going to need you to say, it's Meek this motherfucking Johnson. And don't forget the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's shit like that. People start moving like that.
Oh, real quick. This is a totally different subject, but have you seen Megan Thee Stallion's new video, Thought Shit?
No.
And you know what? I watched it this morning for the first time because someone sent me a video of someone's reaction from watching the video. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go and watch it. And I was really surprised because the video has been out for like 3 days and it only has 5 million views, which when someone like Taylor Swift or whoever, like they release a video, it has like 100 million views in like 2 days. Ariana Grande is one of those artists. And for her to have such a like racy video, I was really shocked that it only had like 5.8 million. But
she's not everybody's speed though. You know that, right?
She's not, but at the same time, she's always in people's mouths. You know what I mean? No, so people are gonna at least watch so they can have
Girl Summer. But I just feel like I feel like this rollout is weak. I feel like she's doing it on her own. I feel like it, like in the past, like in past rollouts of hers, it wasn't, they hit a bit stronger. But like, you know, she was saying, like, I saw something on her Instagram about like Tina Snow coming back, but then that was it. Right. Like, I'm like, it's like, so what are we doing with Tina Snow? Like, what's, and I get it, it's a rollout. I get that. But it just ain't hitting hard. So I feel like that has something to do with her team. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I, because I didn't see it, because I didn't watch it, because I didn't hear about it. So that's the only reason why I didn't watch it, because what I did watch, I watched, what's that dude name? Sin. The Walk.
Who lit?
Walk.
Oh, Santana.
Santana. I watched that video. So it's like, I think I had just saw it today. And it's the video with her in the diner. Is it that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw it, but I didn't get to watch it yet. So I just haven't seen, I haven't heard nothing about it. I haven't, and I follow Megan, you know, so I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard no news about it, no nothing.
She took a social media break. I think she realized, like, I've been doing a whole lot. I think a lot of people are like, yo, all we do is see you on Instagram just shaking your ass, like, and then, you know, she won the Grammy and everything, and then she just like took a hiatus, which is good. Sometimes you need to take a social media hiatus, you know, reel it in. Look, take a hiatus, all right? And so she did that, and maybe, you know, even with her having, you know, being verified and having a lot of followers, I mean, I feel like it could have possibly fucked up her algorithm as well. So I'm like, I haven't heard anybody talking about this video.
See, that's,
and literally until someone sent me a video, which made me want to watch it.
I know a lot of people gonna listen to this and they're gonna be like, Meek, this is the time, you gotta get with it, blah blah blah. But this is the danger into us being so codependent on these motherfucking platforms and this whole social network. This is like the new, like, literally, like, if I am not engaged in my social media, I feel like I'm not a part of the world. Like, on some real talk. And it's like, this shit, like, you do need a break from this shit. Like, it can cause high levels of anxiety, depression, all this extra shit.
Yeah.
And who the fuck knows what the fucking blue light is doing to your shit. So you need a break from it. But, like, it's now the whole, I call it the social playground. Like, when you want to go out on the swings and play, you got to log on, you know? And it's like, you try to take a break, like, okay, you're trying to, like, you know, treat the body, treat the soul, treat your, you know, spirit with all that shit, and you try to take a break, and you come back, and it's like you missed a fucking decade of, like, shit, and, like, people don't know who the fuck you are anymore, right? Like, yep. So it's like, I don't like that. Like, I'm not a fan of that shit at all.
Yeah. She released a video, so did Doja Cat. I haven't watched it yet, but, you know me, I'm into, like, music videos, so eventually I am, but I haven't been excited to really watch music videos. And I'm like, why do people still have such a large budget for videos that no one is watching?
And also, I'm sorry, not sorry, but these lame ass, what is it called? I know you know the terminology. What is that shit called when they, like, I used to love this part of, like, making the video when they would do the, like, they will like draw out the scenes. What is that shit called?
Oh yeah, yeah, like a storyboard.
A storyboard or whatever. That was my favorite part. Like see it and then like you see it all come together and how they fix up the whole. That was like my favorite part. But like this shit is fucking whack now. It's whack as shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because like, a lot of people don't want to give too much. They want to have this big grand reveal. But sometimes, you know, bring your fans in, bring the viewers in to see a little bit of behind the scenes. Because that's literally the video that made me watch Megan's video was from one of the cameramen talking about the rigs that he made to set up to show the girls twerking in certain angles.
Angles, yeah.
Me being a nerd. Wow. I was like, yeah I want to see this.
They're going wild. No, but no, right. So, like, that part is my favorite part, but I ain't going to lie. We have to, like, from our generation, those videos that hype Little X, David, what's his name? David Myers?
David LaChapelle. Oh, no. Dave Myers. Oh, my Dave God. Dave Myers? Yeah.
That they were making P. Diddy featuring Busta Rhymes.
Okay, so Prince's favorite rapper is Busta Rhymes. We just went on a Busta Rhymes video spree, and that video came off. I forgot all about it.
Production. Has Busta Rhymes gotten like a Vanguard of award yet? Because
people are saying he should have been next. Because they was like, okay, Missy finally got hers. Now it's Busta Rhymes.
His videos every single time came from like colors, different images, and you know, y'all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Doing like, all that. But they were watching every video from,
from Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See. Remember, Busta used to have his dreads and the song with him and Khalees, What It Is?
Yeah.
At the end of the video, he's like cutting his dreads off. It's like videos were the reveal. Videos was that moment, flavor in your ear. As simple as that video was, it shows so much personality in the artist. What? And it's like we don't get to see artists' actual personality. The only people I would say, DaBaby has a personality, and people consider him to be like over the top and almost cartoonish. Like, but Ludacris was like that.
Yes,
and that nigga had incredible videos too. We don't have artists like a Missy, a Busta.
No, but I will say
DaBaby is one, and I can tell Doja gives a fuck about her videos.
Yes,
she gives a fuck.
Yeah, even though the whole the streetcar one, that was a fail. They could have did something a little bit more better. But yes, you're right with Doja. But Doja cares about everything, like the whole stage production. Her stage production is freaking bananas. But what I was gonna say though is that's the reason why I'm not hyped up to watch videos now, because I felt like the directors listened to the lyrics, and so like you would see, like, even though they weren't actors,
it's too literal.
Like, well, no, but I actually didn't mind it. Like, I didn't mind, like, they were talking about getting heartbroken. Like, I didn't mind them actually, like Ashanti's Foolish, Rain on Me. I love that fucking video. You know what I'm saying?
With Nia,
like,
Long. Nia Long in the video.
Nia was in the video?
Yes. In the Rain On Me video, yes.
Lorenz was in the Rain On Me.
I think she used the Love Jones.
No, it was her. It was Lorenz Tate, and it was her. And he was her man, and he was whooping her ass in the video.
I gotta go back and figure out which video, but she did have Nia Long playing the character.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I was just about to say, there's an artist. Oh, Roddy Ricch. He will have a whole production. He will have a dope video.
So
I like where he's going with his shit.
I get it. And then also, like, we have so much technology now. So it's like, for it to kind of digress, like, go the opposite way. Because I'm like, they didn't have that shit back then. And they were, like, creating, like, moments. Like, you remember certain videos now. But I just feel like this whole, like... this lean music, you know what I'm saying? No. Like,
look, so did I tell you that I watched Men in Black with Prince? Because you know he's into space. I'm like, you know what? Let's watch Men in Black. And after they played Will Smith's Men in Black song, I was like, wait, everybody used to really love like the dance and the whole video. So I played the video for him, and he's like getting up and dancing. I was like, where is that energy where you cannot wait to see a music video come on,
or
you want to go to YouTube and watch a certain video. Once we had access to be able to watch videos on demand, I used to videotape videos. Over the summer, I go to my granny's house because we didn't have cable at my house. I go to my granny's house. I get all the VHS tapes and record videos from 106 and Park or whatever the fuck so I can watch them whenever. That's how I was able to learn like choreography from certain artists like Aaliyah,
saying, but,
whatever.
But that's what I'm saying.
We don't have
like,
that
choreo,
no more.
Everything was on point, like choreo, but it was also like the directors, everything. Like it just came together because like, if we see it in the verses now, it wasn't the artists. Like, cause they bring in some of these artists back in verses, and you can tell that their personality ain't really much. So it wasn't
they have
the,
no personality.
They didn't. It wasn't the artists. It was the team around the artists. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So now, and I get it. A lot of people are doing things independent, and I'm not saying that independent is bad. And I'm, you know, I think it's good. I would just challenge y'all to like, you know, maybe y'all need to go back to the drawing board and like do some sketches, bring out some Crayolas, you know what I'm saying? Some like markers or whatever, some glue.
And let me tell you, there are some really creative people online that can make something out of absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I've seen people make tribute Aaliyah videos with just a little
bit
of footage from the,
like clips.
With clips. That exactly.
Nuts. That shit's fucking nuts. That shit's
and
nuts.
So I'm like, so why are we just like doing the same green screen videos?
Bro,
why are we still doing
green
this?
Screen,
why can't we
whole
have
bunch of bitches? I got my drink. I'm, you know, I
rental cars,
like fucking like, weed and shit. Like, I'm not saying I'm over it. I'm just saying, can you just bring in something else? I was telling E, I need the niggas that beg for pussy to come back. I'm talking about like those songs, you know. The slow down. I just want to get to know you. You know what I'm saying?
Wait.
Like
So Prince also is an Usher fan. So we were watching Usher videos, and remember in You Got It Bad or Confessions, one of the videos, Usher slides into that bitch's lap. Do you remember that? He literally slid on his knees and grabbed
it was chilly.
I think it was You Got It Bad.
It was You Got It Bad, yeah. And they cried together and shit.
Yeah, yeah, like it was real dramatic.
Yes.
It was a moment.
Made you feel that, like, you know. Made you
like,
feel that
nigga just slide from
one
side of the studio to the other.
He did. No, he absolutely did. And you know what? You know what? Someone said, because we know I said this before, and they was like, nah, because, you know, look at the relationships when those niggas was begging and did it. I'm like, yeah, but you got to remember, we also had, like, rap music come in, too, at the same time, because, you know, yeah, we had, like, the Isley Brothers and all that, but then we also had rap music, and so, like, there was, like, this, like, people wanted to be more like rappers than they wanted to be like singers. So, like, yeah, so when you talk about the relationship correlation to the music, motherfuckers, yeah, people like to put Joe on when they fucking, but they wanted to be like fucking Tupac. You know what I'm saying? Or like Snoop or shit, like in real life. So it was
I feel like in the early 2000s, ushered in this whole like pimp era. And that was like it. You got Big Pimpin' with, you know, Jay-Z. You got 50 Cent and, you know, P.I.M.P. Mm-mm. You got Snoop and his shit. Like, a whole lot of shit was going on, bro.
Yeah, but then, see, but this is when people, you know me. I'm going to always remember, tell people, we can't act like Ja Rule wasn't Ja Ruling when Ja Rule was Ja Ruling, okay? Because he was making songs it was more like toxic shit. Never mind, I take that back. Because it was hella toxic. It
was
toxic
like, wait,
as shit.
What?
Never mind. He wasn't begging. He was over here trying to get girls off of Molly and all that shit.
He was talking crazy shit. Even R. Kelly was talking crazy shit. Like, his album was a lot of sexy shit, but also like, I'm a pimp and, you know, my bitches.
Can I just song you? No, but on some real talk, but that kind of goes back to what we talked about before about like when people that come up, right? So when they like in the mud, motherfuckers want to beg for pussy. Motherfuckers don't care about begging for pussy. Like, I will cry. Well, how's that, Josie? And dun, dun, dun. But then,
okay.
Once hip hop and R&B start really making the money and becoming pop music, it became a bit more.
But you know what's crazy with you saying all of this? A lot of rappers' biggest hits is when they really make a song for women.
For the
you
women, yes.
So you got Fabulous, You Make Me Better. They love his verse on Superwoman. Like whenever he does his R&B collaboration, you know, Throw It in the Bag or Diamond Girl or whatever the fuck. When they do some R&B for the women shit, it goes. Yeah. LL started the whole formula. I need love. And then he got cruising and all these different songs. Like, oh, God. What happened? When niggas make songs for...
Niggas need to get back to Jay-Z, begging for the pussy. I'm just saying. Lie to us.
Jay-Z, excuse me, miss. Like, when you make songs for the women,
it wasn't
good.
No, that one was good. But when he showed a little slither of vulnerability with fucking Song Cry, the fact that we had to go through like, what, 5 albums to even... He had another song, but like it wasn't a single. But like, so no one really heard it because he mentioned like his girlfriend, I think, having a stillborn or something like that in the song. But
are you talking... Oh. It's do like... You, it's do on you the, count Sunshine? I hated that song and video. That was so bad.
Garbage. She was garbage.
But yeah, the niggas gotta go back to rapping for the women. Because women buy music. Women buy tickets to your shows.
Yeah.
Like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah.
So real quick, we talked about this on the phone, but Versus is coming up with Eve and Trina. Who do you... Okay, just tell me what you think about the matchup. Eve and Trina.
When you first told me, I thought the matchup was weird as fuck. But that's only because, like, when you think Eve and Trina, you just think about their location. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where they're from, Philly, Miami. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the fuck? But then when you really say, you, like, start analyzing it, it's like, nah, like... They both came out around the same time. They both, like, held down their camp, you know, and held it down strong. They both have a cult following.
Hello.
Eve has more of a crossover, you know, especially when she did, is it Scorpion? Is that the one with Dr. Dre produced?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with, yeah. I feel like, even though the other stuff was hits, I'm talking, I feel like her career crossed over, like, into, like, where she became a pop star.
I actually talked about this on... I talked about this on Bomb when we were talking about the Rough Rider Chronicles. People forget what Eve was doing. She had her own TV show. She had her own clothing line.
Everything.
She was on Mac selling makeup. Everything. She was Rihanna
Whoever her team was, yo, they deserved every freaking dollar because she was everywhere. And you went from, you know, Pitbull in a skirt running with, you know, dudes that's like, you know, really in motorcycles to now you got this, like, you didn't even think about, like, even though that whole, you remember that whole backstory of her being a stripper, even though it was like a short-lived story, you know, she wasn't even a stripper that long.
It
was a story that followed her, right? That, like, kind of followed, like, her. But then once she hit that, like, pinnacle moment where she kind of crossed over, you just forgot all about that. You saw her on this TV show. She was...
But you make a good point because I feel like Eve might be like the first girl to be like, yeah, I was a stripper and now I'm a fucking rapper and I'm good at this shit. That's like what the girls are doing today.
Yeah.
Like, give Eve her flowers. She really laid the blueprint to really come out and do the whole stripper to rapper type shit. Even though she didn't do it long.
Yeah, but I feel like women treat that the same way these niggas treat drug dealing. Like, everybody wanna be like, I was in the club, and it's like, but were you? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You really...
But Eve was really about that life. And a lot of girls are using this whole stripper thing to take off, where she was kind of like trying to put it behind her, like, oh yeah, I did it, okay, whatever.
Now that followed me.
Yeah, I don't want to revisit that. Yeah, like she's on her other shit. I like the Trina matchup because, like you said, like the whole cult following. If you know you're from the South, Trina was very prominent. I'm not sure how people felt about Trina out west. Like, were you a Trina fan? Like, or is just
girl
whatever came on the radio was it?
Listen,
did they play her on the radio out here?
Listen. At my funeral, they gonna be playing Baddest Bitch. You understand me?
Oh.
Do you understand me? Like, yes, Lil' Kim was saying she started it. Like that's the thing. Kim, yes, she started it. Kim started it because she started with the vulgar liquors. But when I tell you Trina was just straight up disrespectful, I wasn't even fucking then. And I was like, I'll probably fuck your daddy if your mammy wasn't player hating. Like,
right. So let me tell you, I have a very specific memory to that song. The first time I heard it, I was just like blown the fuck away. And so I used to be the athletic trainer for our football team in high school. And while the guys are out there training, they warming up, whatever, I have my Walkman. I'm just like listening to music on my little mix CD. And I used to be the girl that used to listen to songs and write the lyrics out. Down, like yeah. I made a lyric book. So that's how old I am. So I remember I was writing the lyrics to Baddest Bitch. And one of my best friends, we're still best friends to this day, JJ, if you ever listen to this, this moment has stuck with me forever. He was like, what the fuck are you writing? Like, what are you writing? This is some nasty shit. And I felt so embarrassed because I was a virgin. I wasn't doing nothing.
No.
Even writing those lyrics was just like, oh my God, like a clutch of pearls moment.
Man.
So when people come out and be like, oh my God, wet ass pussy, like how you gonna make a song?
Do you,
Trina, hello.
Do you know what Trina did? City Girls, and City Girls will tell you. That's the reason why they pay homage to Trina any and every time that they can. They have yet to catch up to what Trina has done. Like, on some real talk. And also,
she said, I will even make him eat me while my period on.
What?
Bro. What? I was like, yo, this is some crazy shit.
She said something about doing it in the ass, but from what I heard, it ain't bad.
It ain't bad.
It reminds you, she's like 16, 17, 18. Like when you know Nan came out, she was like 16 years old.
She was a kid.
She was a kid talking like that. Like, yo. So that, once again. So that's what they...
It's a good matchup. Also, because people don't know, Eve was talking that big, like, if you ain't got money, get the fuck out my face. So Eve been about that shit, too. So this is a perfect matchup, and I really hope that the kids are paying attention.
That part.
Understand what's happening.
And the thing about, too, about these verses, and because I do think that, like, the younger... I'm not about to get on that part. But I do think that the younger generation can get a little bit disrespectful because... Like, all I have to say is if we would have done this matchup about, like, 15 years ago, when I tell you that it would have been on some, you know what I mean? Like, the hype behind it. So it's like, y'all just don't know. Y'all, like, and it's a bit dangerous because that means that y'all not reading y'all history books, baby. Like, you don't understand what you think City Girls just woke up like this? Like,
right.
Where the fuck you think they got it from? You think Cardi B was the first one to come out? And she's nowhere near any of those women that we just dropped level. Like, and these women spit. Like was hanging with the fellas. Like, really hanging with the fellas. Like, not on some just... how can I say, like, you know, very elementary sentences.
Oh, yeah.
Fragments of sentences. No, you were getting metaphors...
wordplay.
What's that shit
all
called?
Day.
Quokrealist? I can't think it. Never mind. I'm going to fuck it up.
What?
I'm going to fuck it up. Because I have it in my head, but I'm not going to. It's something. I can't think of it. It's in my mind, but I ain't going to be able to say it.
Oh, girl. What does it mean? Quokrealisms?
There we go.
Oh.
Yeah, that one. I was like, Coca-Cola.
Oh my God. But yes.
But you get what I'm saying. Girls, metaphors, analogies, all that shit.
I hope, you know what? I won't say it's up to the younger generation to do the homework. I feel like we have younger brothers and sisters. We have, you know, people that we could have introduced this stuff to. I feel like our generation, sometimes we're a bit snobby, like, you know, I guess because everything has kind of presented itself, like we got Napster and we had, you know, we saw YouTube come into fruition, like we've seen different platforms, so it's like you can discover this music just like the fuck I did. But someone on Twitter posted LL Cool J, like a snippet from his video Who Do You Love, and I think that was a video where LL is like pouring chocolate on a woman's leg in broad daylight and licking it up. Somebody was like, oh, when I get outside, this is how I'm gonna be. And somebody clearly born in like the late 90s, early 2000s was like, so we ain't gonna say nothing about his one pant leg being up, bruh. You are showing your age.
But see, once again, going back to my small ass protest against social media and like the social climate, is that it allows us to stay within our bubble. You know what I mean? Like, it got to, when I was growing up, I had what was on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
And whatever they, and granted, yes, it was controlled or whatever, but like, and also, I also had what was in the streets, right? So it's like, what was ever at the swap meet and stuff like, that's what I had. So like, you heard things, you were kind of forced to try things out. Like, I'm not from Miami. So of course, when I heard, you know, Nat, getting banned in places I've been and spending that. I'm like, why she talk like that? But she's spitting some real shit. Like, so it kind of like, and also I just think that like, we kind of were more open-minded.
You got introduced to a new vibe and you had no choice.
But because we had no choice, I never thought to try to stay within my bubble. Because I had no choice, I was more open to hearing different things from all over. Now, mm-hmm. me knowing that I can just play the same playlist for the rest of my life if I fucking wanted to, or that like they'll curate me something specifically for what I want, like I don't ever have to step outside of my little bubble anymore. And I don't know. I don't think that it's healthy. So yeah, so I'm creating I'm about to create this whole like protest against the social climate, mm-hmm. like. You know how we have, like, what's that shit called? The climate change. Yes. Protest. Mm-hmm. Social climate. Yes. We need to change that. Like, I'm completely against it.
Oh, my God. I have Prince listen to the radio. Whenever we're in the car, I put on the radio. Usually it's an old station because he seems to take to like a lot of older music from the early 2000s. Like something about his ear is really drawn to like a Lil Jon, Neptunes, a Timbaland type style. Mm-hmm. He really like vibes to that. And so I'm just like, it's been really fun. Like that part of motherhood is like introducing your children to music. What's I heard someone call it is like keeping the recipes in the family. Like you're keeping it going,
right,
you're passing it down,
right?
So that this shit just doesn't get lost in this whole TikTok, YouTube era,
right?
Where people are still like, because Prince loves Usher, yeah, he likes Nelly's Hot in Here, like he loves like old shit, and I'm like, this is actually really good. Like I want him to be well rounded musically and not just like, oh, I want to listen to Drake or the Migos. Like,
yeah,
baby, it's a lot of music. And you're gonna have fun listening to all this shit.
When I tell you, like, the way Eli picks up on music, literally, kid you not, this happened. We walk outside, we're getting ready to go to school, and it's a lot of military where I stay. And this soldier comes and he's like blasting this music. When I tell you, I've never heard this band ever in my life. And Eli, like, we get in the car and Eli was like, "Mom, you heard that?" And I was like, "What, the song, baby?" And he was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Who is that? What is that?" I stopped the young man and I was like, "Excuse me, like, what song was that you were playing?" And it's called "Bang" by ARJ. And
never heard of it.
Girl, like, but it's actually a dope ass song. And it's like, and so like, I don't know what, like, I don't even know if I can narrow it down, but my baby does have like a niche, like a certain ear. And he's definitely, he listens to rap because his daddy listens to rap. But my baby is like into funk. He's into like the Zombies, like. When he first heard the Zombies, he was like, "In, you know what I'm saying?" Like he heard the song. He's like, "Mom, what is that song? What's that song? Like, put that on my list. That's his thing. Put that on my list. Like, you know, like, so
yeah.
You look at his list, it's like a whole clusterfuck of just everything. So
same, like Prince has a playlist. We were in Albertsons getting some groceries and I'm in the self checkout, you know, just in the zone. And I hear Prince saying, "I want to get away. I wanna fly." I was like, he's singing Lenny Kravitz. This was my song when I was like 12, dog. And my child is singing one of my favorite songs. I was just like, oh,
yes.
This is just a moment.
Yes.
Yeah. A moment. So yeah, introducing your children to the recipes, keeping the recipes in the family is really important. So we don't have our kids on there on social media, whatever it is gonna be when they're of age, talking about what? LL Cool J had his pants leg rolled up.
That part. Like, oh my God. Yeah, and also, like, you know, like, if you want to compare it to gumbo, like, some of y'all roux is real watered down. You know, you got to make that shit thick and dark, honey. You know what I'm saying? Like, put some soul up in there.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for today. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod. Also, if you want to send a question in for the Red Light Special, send us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com or hit us on the DMs on our social. And Patreon, patreon.com/crazysexycool. Become a member, support your girls. We got some exclusive content over there and more coming your way. And until next week, before we get there, Meek, do you have a quote?
Read a book. Yeah. I'm doing so much reading right now. I'm serious. Read a book.
Look, even if you're not reading it, they have audiobooks if you want to digest it that way.
No.
Some people don't have the time. Sometimes it's easier to digest while you're driving or while you're commuting. I understand. Look, I love books. I love reading. But not everyone has the time to read it that way.
Bethany, listen.
Some people don't have the time to digest it. Some people don't have the skill to do it.
You don't have the skill because you don't practice. So I have to say this before we left. I was that one. I'm going to listen to the audio. But there is something that is connected between the whole exercise of literally reading words on a page and turning the page. Read. Do not listen. You can listen. You can listen to music all day. You need to read. It is a mental exercise. If you can't read a 10-chapter book, go read Mary Had a Little Lamb. You understand? Like, go read a book. Read. Not listen to a book.
I understand that.
Read.
I understand that.
You sit on the toilet. No. Instead of picking up your phone and going on Instagram, put the newspaper or whatever. Read. We need people reading. People need to read.
We need people reading. But sometimes there are challenges that keep people from being able to do it. Whether it's learning challenges, dyslexia, there's a lot of challenges that keep people from doing it. I understand that you want people to read. I get it, and that's a small
demographic. Because I'm not talking about also, and even then they got practice. They got practice. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna allow this to happen because they have. You know, my son is in speech therapy, so they have like different things for people in that particular. You know. I'm just saying that as much as people use this shit and is on social media and typing all their thoughts on Twitter and posting all their beautiful pictures on fucking Instagram, you can read. Read one paragraph. I challenge you to read a paragraph a week. Is that really gonna hurt you? No. No. There's no excuse for it. Read. Write. And then once you get to the reading part and actually finish a book, write. People don't read and write no more. So my social climate protest. You understand what I'm saying? Social climate protest.
There are also people. My whole thing is reading makes your writing better. And this is why I work with Prince about reading and comprehension and seeing words on paper, which is why every time he watches TV, the captions are on so he can put those two together. He understands how to become a great speller. There's a lot of people who can't spell. They don't know the difference between a whole lot and it's right there in a book. But some people go like, I'm not going to read at all. But if you're not going to read, at least do the audiobook.
It's not the same.
And take baby steps into the reading.
It's not
That's
the
all
same.
I'm saying.
Because if you're trying to seek the knowledge, if you're trying to seek the just, you just want information, you can listen everywhere you go. Everything is made for your ears now. That's why freaking headphones cost $200. Everything is made for you. If you want to listen, you can listen to anything. There is a skill set within reading, and we're losing it. Read.
Well, I'm a writer, so I get it. But to those, read a book, digest the audiobook, however you get it.
See, no, all right, y'all. No,
so
read.
You interject so loudly.
We just disagree.
That's just what it is.
Read a book.
All right, y'all. We'll see you next week. We out.